Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and my co-host is Misty Hall. And we're here for the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, Misty and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty.
Good evening, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
Well, for one thing, I'm very excited. And I'm excited because you've launched your new website.
So I'd like to announce for everybody
to take a look at how beautiful it is. And they can find that website at mistyhall.com, mistihall.com. And I know it was a long time in coming. I think you could have had a baby sooner than that website, Misty.
I think I did give birth to that website. I think you're right. Actually, I think it was so long. So I love it. So thank goodness. It is it's beautiful. And, you know, I forgot to mention when we discussed it once I got it launched, for all you straight wives out there that came to the Florida retreat last year, I want you to know that's what I dedicated the theme to, the ocean. So that was why. That's where that theme came from. So take a peek at it. I think it's beautiful, and I'm happy with it. And every time I see it, it reminds me of that wonderful trip we all had together.
Right, and our upcoming trip for November 6th and 7th. So
mm-hmm.
if you're listening, you know, and you want to get in with us, we had a wonderful weekend last year, and we're going to have an even better one this one year. And
absolutely.
We have a lot of workshops that are planned and healing workshops, inventing your frustration workshops, and we're going to be in Fort Lauderdale this time, so we'd be happy to have you join us. If you are interested, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you information. Tonight we're going to have a wonderful guest with us who we've been fortunate enough to have before, Dr. Francine Barbetta. Many of you who listened before were so impressed with her that we've asked her to return. And let's see if Francine is with us now. Is that you, Francine?
That's me, Bonnie.
Hi, Misty and I are both here, anxiously awaiting you.
Great. How are you both?
We're doing great. We were just talking about Misty's new website. If you have a chance to check it out, it just was launched this week.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, at mistyhall.com. And so mistihall.com. And I think you'll be really impressed with it. I said to Misty, it took her longer to have that website than it would to have a baby.
It did.
And I think the labor pains she was having from it were just as intense. I know it was very frustrating.
It was. What are some of the things that are on the website?
Well, tell about the website. Go ahead, Misty.
Wow. Well, it's basically dedicated to straight wives, as you know, and it has a link to my blog, which I try to regularly write a few articles on there. I need to write more than I do, actually, but anyway, I put articles, you know, related to the straight wives. It talks about, and this is one thing that I haven't completely mastered yet, all the events that I will be doing, the current workshops and classes will be up on that. That's a work in progress because I'm navigating that. And it's just basically what I want it to be is a refuge for straight wives. I want them to know they have someplace to go where they can find help if they seek support. Because as all of us know, this is not easy to go through. It's not easy, and so many people don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to convey that I understand what they're going through, and there's a place to go, there's a place to seek help, there's a place
to... And I think
that
unless you've really been through this, we were discussing this in our chat this evening, unless you've really lived through it, it's really hard to really understand it. You know, people say they do, but I think that you really have to feel this experience. You can sympathize and you can, you know, say, oh, it's so terrible. And, you know, you have people who try to understand, but you really don't have the same emotional impact. It's not the same emotional impact as having lived through it.
Yes.
So I think, Francine, you'll probably agree with that since you've, you know, been counseling women for a long time in this situation.
You know, it's interesting. I remember when I was still married and I was counseling people who were divorced, and I thought that I understood what they were going through, but I had no idea until I really went through a divorce myself.
Mm-hmm.
this topic is so specialized that I really do believe that it is helpful to go to someone, to a therapist who's been through the straight spouse experience.
And I think that's so rare, and that's why I just love having you on here and, you know, Miss Dean working with her because she's lived through it also.
Right.
And if people would like to call in while we have Francine on the phone, we'd be happy to take your calls. We're at area code 646-716-4893. Or if you do have a question, you can email me at bonk@AOL, and I can express that to Francine if you'd rather not call in. But once again, the call-in number is area code 646-716-4893. Francine, the last time you were on our show, you were giving us some wonderful news about the new man in your life, and now I heard you have even better news.
Yes, I think the last time I was on, I may have just gotten engaged.
Yes.
And we actually set a wedding date for November 14th of this
that's
year.
That's so wonderful.
So I'm very excited. And, you know, I was single for 10 years, and I really never thought I would be in this place again. You know, I was single from 2000 to 2005, really dealing with the loss of my marriage and really recovering and going through the healing process of that. And then in 2005, my ex-husband, as you know, committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So it really put me back, you know, a couple steps, and it was very difficult to deal with that. But another grieving process began. And in the last couple years, you know, I have gone through that and I've experienced it. And I said, you know, now it's time that I start to live again. And sure enough, as I spoke those words, life turned around. And it's amazing. It's such a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be in love and to be with a man that's straight and healthy and happy and wants to make me happy. It's an experience that I cannot encourage women enough to get out there and to try to experience it when they're ready. I think it's very important that you go through the grieving process of the loss of what you thought you had in your marriage and heal and take care of yourself first. And
I try to hit that point home to a lot of women because I think that for many women, after getting out of a marriage to a man who's been rejecting you both emotionally and sexually,
mm-hmm.
and losing your sexual esteem and self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
that you're so desperate to find it again, that a lot of women make that wrong turn and jump
mm-hmm.
into a relationship just to feel wanted again. And I tell them, if you don't build yourself up, you'll just find yourself in another predatory type of relationship.
Yes.
It may not be with a gay man, but there are a lot of predators who are out there who are straight.
Yes.
And that if you don't change, you know, who you've become from being married to a gay man, you're going to put yourself back in that same position.
Yeah.
And
you
feel the same way?
Absolutely. I think women really need to have their own identity again. When you're in a marriage, you get so caught up in the joint identity of the husband and wife. And then when you're in a relationship with a gay man, you go into that closet with them. So it's important to come out of the closet, to be who you are, to find out what your likes and dislikes are, your hobbies, your interests, to be a whole person again, and then go out into the world to find the person that you're destined to be with.
In my experience, and I think you'll probably agree, and certainly Misty, that the women that we work with in many cases have lost their identity because
mm-hmm.
they're trying so hard to please their husbands
mm-hmm.
that they lose a sense of who they are.
Right.
And in the meantime, try to mold themselves to try to be someone who their husbands are going to want.
Right.
And I know for me, you know, specifically, I can, you know, admit to that. I became somebody who I didn't even know anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have an identity. I was trying to just make myself into somebody that my husband would love. And the harder I tried, of course, you know, the less that happened.
Right.
But, you know, it took me a long time to find myself. Do you find that really the important part is trying to remember who you once were and trying to get that back before you even look to meet someone else?
Absolutely. I know in my own marriage, you know, my husband at the time was had a lot of anger issues. He became verbally abusive. He became physically abusive. I remember there were times where I was just trying to make sure I said the right thing so he wasn't provoked, you know, trying to make him happy, trying to do whatever I could to just keep things calm in the house for the children, because I didn't want him to be set off. I didn't want them to be, you know, just saying anything that was going to upset him. And having no idea at the time, of course, that he had all this inner turmoil and conflict that he was dealing with, and the secrets and the lies and all the deception that was pretty much driving him crazy. So, you know, I became a different person. And that's not the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be comfortable with who we are, not try to be satisfying somebody else at our own expense.
Francine, one of the things that, you know, some of our support women say, and it really kind of hurts me when I hear this, you know, they've been in long-term marriages for 20, 25, 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and they've come from backgrounds that were pretty conservative. They grew up in Christian households where they weren't sexually involved with anyone else until they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And the only man they've ever had has been a gay man, and I think that they're really jaded as far as understanding that this is not what love is about, and that, you know, when you find a straight man, it's totally different. And I think from your experience, maybe you could tell us a little bit, you know, leaning on this new relationship that you have.
Well, I can talk on that, and it's not only this relationship, it's other relationships I've been in, that there is a very big difference when you're with a man who is gay. In my experience, and from especially from a lot of the women that I've counseled, they almost make their wives feel as though something is wrong with them if they want to be intimate and they want to have sex. That they are, you know, I got this term from my ex-husband, and I know a lot of women do. They're nymphomaniacs,
mm-hmm.
because they enjoy sex and they want to be close to their spouse. Even if it's just a matter of kissing and hugging and being intimate, but especially in a sexual relationship, no woman should ever be made to feel that there's something wrong with her. Straight men want to be intimate with their wives. They want to be sexual. They want to touch them. They want to touch everywhere on their body. That is what is normal in a heterosexual relationship. To have a lot of touching between partners. So if your husband is making you feel that there's something wrong with you, that's a major sign.
How about women who tell me that, you know, they've been married for 15, 20, 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and their husbands tell them, well, it's normal for couples not to, you know, be that intimate anymore after a long period of time. You know, for straight couples. And the reality is that I do know straight couples, really, who aren't intimate that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're using that as an excuse because they were never that intimate to start with.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I counsel a lot of straight couples. And the straight couples that I counsel, yes, sometimes it's not abnormal for a couple's sex life to decrease over time, especially when there's children. You know, depending on the family situation, if the bedroom where their teenager is 3 feet from their master bedroom, it may not be as convenient as it was when the kids were little or before the kids. So, yes, sometimes that happens. But I always try to go back to, well, what was it like in the beginning? Were you very sexual in the beginning? What is it like if you go on vacation alone? What is it like if you go to a hotel room? So if you have alone time, what is it like when the children are at school and your husband goes in or you go in late for work that day? You know, is there intimacy then? So, you know, you also have to consider, are there medical problems? Sometimes a lot of medications cause sexual dysfunctions. So
mm-hmm.
that's important to consider as well. Sometimes people are depressed, and that causes sexual dysfunction. So, you know, I try to take everything into consideration when I'm working with a couple. But, you know, for me, if a man makes his wife feel bad that she wants sex and he shows no interest in her in any way, then there's generally a red flag that something is wrong. It doesn't always mean he's gay. It could mean he's having an affair with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quick to pull the gay card because there could be many factors.
Absolutely. But
yeah.
I always feel that if a woman gets to the point where she's having this intuitive thought that her husband is gay, it's usually based on some kind of reality.
Well, Bonnie, that's an excellent point because in a normal heterosexual relationship, the thought that your husband is gay never comes up. It's foreign. If you have a husband who's straight, why would you ever think that he was gay? So I do believe that 100% that if a woman has that intuition, it's coming from somewhere. And I strongly encourage women to follow their instincts.
That's true, because I know that in the past, you know, I had a straight husband, or maybe two. And, you know, if there was an issue of infidelity, the last thing that ever would have crossed my mind was a man.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to my gay husband, where
right.
the first thing I was thinking is, there's a man.
Right.
So I feel that women really need to trust that instinct. You know, the problem that so many women that I work with have is that if they don't have exact proof, if they don't want, and for every woman, proof is different, because so many women want to live in that, you know, denial state themselves, that even if you show them proof, it's not proof enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say, what is proof enough? Do you have to walk in and actually see him having a sexual act with another man?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you find emails or you find text messages or all the other signs that he's going away for periods of time or condoms that you're not using with him, I mean, isn't that proof enough? But once again, some women are in such a deep state of denial that they don't want to have to face it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's certainly different than, you know, those women who are just suspicious. I say you have to trust your instincts. That these guys kind of have a pattern. Have you found that?
Yes, I do. There is often a pattern. This is a good time for me to read this paragraph from my book.
Please do. And let's talk a little about your book before you read from it. Francine has written a really compelling, wonderful book, and those women who, from my support network, who have read it, are just so impressed with it, and it's called A Pebble in His Shoe. And this book came out, what, about a year and a half ago, Francine?
Yes.
And you can buy the book on Amazon.com or from BarnesandNoble.com. And once again, A Pebble in His Shoe. It's a beautiful cover of a man's shoe walking, hopefully, on a pebble. And
yes.
This is Francine's story, her own personal story about her life with her gay husband. So I'll let you read an excerpt, and then we'll talk about your book.
Okay. This is when I started to question whether Frank could be gay, and he was also going through sort of a time of exploration for himself. Revelations began to occur. Frank had tried to tell me that he felt effeminate for years, but I had effortlessly dismissed the signs. I had never thought of him as effeminate. When he professed that he liked to decorate, I simply told him decorating was an activity we enjoyed doing together. When he said he liked to cook, I told him that the best chefs are men. When he mentioned he was particular about his looks, I reaffirmed that I admired that trait. And when he confessed that he liked to wear jewelry, I assured him that many professional men do. I was thrilled he did not like sports because I would not want my husband glued to the TV. Although Frank claimed he never felt sexually attracted to other men, he confessed, after meeting Dan, that looking at them appealed to him. It was not until then that I became alarmed. Suppressing my own feelings, I tried to provide support the only way I knew how, by hiding his deep secret to bide enough time to work on our issues. It was painful to see the fear in his eyes. I was willing to do anything to protect him. My blinding love for Frank was the glue that sealed us together, and I refused to let the tenuously fastened fragments of our marriage fall apart. I suggested to Frank that we needed help. Although I began training to become a therapist, I was too emotionally connected under the circumstances to be objective. And I read that because I think that's very, very important, that there are some women whose husbands are... they have a strong feminine side, and
mm-hmm.
that does not mean they're gay. The key here is that he started to admit that he felt attracted to these men. he was looking at them in an appealing way, and that's when I realized that something was starting to change. It wasn't that he liked to cook or liked to shop or liked to decorate. There
mm-hmm.
are many, many straight men that do those things, and especially now with more men being metrosexual, I think that's very important to put out there, because you could have a straight guy that loves to help you with decorating. Doesn't mean they're gay. What means that they're gay is if they're attracted to men and they would rather have sex with men and be in love with a man.
Francie, we have a caller, so let's see who's calling in.
Great.
One moment. Hello, this is Bonnie. Who's calling?
Hi, Bonnie. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, who is this?
My name is Laura. I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
Welcome
Laura.
To our show.
Hi.
And you're here tonight with us with Misty and with Francine. And did you have
Hi.
A question you would like to ask Francine or comment you'd like to make?
Well, I would like to comment on my situation regarding just the I was kind of curious how common you have found this to be with my situation. My husband, we've been married for 15 years, and 8 years ago he admitted going to one of these porno places where you go into a booth and you watch the pornography, and what I've later discovered is the terminology is a glory hole.
Oh, you mean an adult bookstore?
Exactly, and I guess you've heard the term glory hole.
I'm very well familiar with them.
Yeah, sure you are. And at the time, he was very remorseful, and, you know, I forgave him. And, you know, and that thought crossed my mind, you know, of, well, maybe he's bisexual, but he, of course, denied any of that. And just, in fact, he even commented at the time, well, I did it to make sure I wasn't gay.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, 8 years go by, I ignored a lot of red flags. Fast forward to September of last year, and he admitted to me that he had been going to this same place for basically ever since then, is what I've learned, on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he said that he had quit going in February of last year. And once again, very remorseful, promised me he would never do it again, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's taken me it's been a process since September, but I've moved out and I'm going through with divorce. And he still, I mean, he doesn't even say he's bisexual, although I try to make myself believe that.
Well, he's probably not bisexual, you know, to be honest with you. He's gay.
Yeah, exactly. And
what it is that men, when they live with their wives, like to justify their homosexuality by calling it bisexuality. But can you be honest about this? How was your sex life with him?
Not very, very little. Intimacy.
Very limited, right?
Very limited, you know, maybe once a month. That was often, actually, if
mm-hmm.
it was once a month. You know, maybe once every 2 months was more like it. But, you know, not a lot of intimacy. He always wanted the lights out.
Right. They perform the best that they can to justify in their minds that they're not gay. Because by having sex with you, and once again, it's having sex. It's not making love, as Francine can attest to. It's totally two different things.
Absolutely.
That having sex with you, that justifies in his mind that he's not gay, because he's not coming to terms with it at all.
No, he's still in denial. He's still, to this day, he'll say, in fact, screamed at me one time that, you know, I am not a gay man. I'm just, like, you know, red in the face and fist clenched and just adamant that yet he's gone and done these things. And
right, well, these are gay things. And it's gay sex
exactly.
that he's having. So I told these men, you know, you can call it what you want to call it. You can call it asexual, bisexual, bisexual, no sexual. I think some of them call themselves metrosexual, you know, whatever sexual you want. But once you have a penis, you're gay. It comes down to that. It doesn't matter if you have it dressed up as a transsexual, if you have it through, you know, a glory hole where you don't even know who the other person is at the other end, if it's strictly impersonal, if you've never met the person. Once you cross that borderline, it's gay sex.
Straight
but in their own minds, they don't want to accept that they're gay, and by living with you, they can justify the fact that they're not.
Straight men don't do that. Keep that in mind.
Exactly.
Straight men don't do that. If you read my book, you'll see that my husband is almost every other chapter, practically every other paragraph, he says, I'm straight, I'm gay, I'm bi. No, I'm straight. No, I'm gay. No, I'm bi. And it, this pattern went on for 3 years of him changing what he was until finally when I did leave him and he met another man and he went to Vermont to form a civil union, I said, well, do you think you might be gay now that you're forming a civil union with a man? Like, I don't think it gets more gay than that.
And what did he say to you?
He said, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was he also very wanting to limit your conversations with other people to make sure, of course, that none of this gets out?
That's where the straight life gets put back in the closet. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They like to isolate you because they're afraid if you tell anybody else, that person's going to say, what, are you crazy? That's gay behavior.
Right.
Yeah.
So they they make you feel emotionally threatened that if you tell anyone, I know that at one point in my marriage, I said to my husband, you know, let's go for counseling. You know, we have problems in this marriage. You know, let's go to a marriage counselor. And he said, you know, I'm not going to a marriage counselor if you're going to bring up gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want people, you know, thinking that.
Yes.
I said, well, I didn't say I was going to bring it up. He said, well, you know, I don't need counseling. I'm fine with this marriage. You're the one who has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do anything to avoid. And, you know, some people will go to the extent, because I have a lot of women in this situation who could attest for it. They try to, you know, isolate you so badly. I've had men who move their wives out of town to across the country, away from their family, away from their friends, because they are so afraid the secret's going to come out that they make their wives feel totally isolated. And I know in many cases they'll act out if you have friends over to the point of family over to the point where your friends and family don't want to come over.
Mm-hmm.
And so
oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I experienced. That it got to the point where my parents did not want to come over anymore because of how he acted.
That's how my family was. He made it so unpleasant when they came over.
Yeah.
He would look to start a fight specifically at that time and go into a rage to the point where every visit became the same thing. They stopped visiting.
Now, my husband did the opposite. He pulled out all his best punches when we were with other people. He was affectionate. He was loving. He would say how much he loved me in front of other people. He would be generous and kind and give presents in front of other people. Yet he never did any of those things when we were alone.
And that's the other pattern that I find a lot of women have with their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people will say, you're so lucky to be married to such a great guy.
Exactly.
Well, they're so great when they're around, you know, strangers, but when you're with them alone, they never do it with you.
Right.
That was more my experience. But what people noticed, what friends and family noticed, was the controlling arrogance behavior, even though he was, even during a Bible study group, he would always take the time to make the comments like, you know, thank you, Lord, for my beautiful wife and for my wonderful wife and all this crap.
And the thing is that a lot of these guys are very controlling. Francine, was your husband controlling?
Yes, he really he became increasingly controlling as he started to come out. He started to also become an alcoholic. He became abusive. He started showing signs of mental illness. And the more those behaviors started to manifest, the more controlling he became.
And I think the reason why they become so controlling is because they have no control in their own lives.
Absolutely, yes.
So they're trying to control all the circumstances around them because they can't control their homosexuality.
Right.
So where do you stand right now with your relationship?
Are you speaking to me, to Laura?
Yes, I am.
I wasn't sure who,
oh,
who you were talking to. I feel like I'm at a point now where I've digested the truth, and I'm going through with divorce. We also have a 13-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing to me, though, what I go through, and I guess what I would like to put out there for other women to realize is normal, I guess, is how many times I feel like I want to go back just because it would be easier in some ways. Like, you know, the whole idea of getting, of losing the continuity, if you will, of what I thought my life was going to be, you know, the continuity of marriage and for my son as well. And even though I know the intimacy wasn't there, you know, in some ways it was, oh, well, he was really good at taking care of, he, you know, cleaned the house, he cooked, and, you know, he took care of the finances and all this, all that stuff, but the intimacy was not there.
Well, it's not just the intimacy. It's also, and, you know, let's look at several of the other issues, because believe me, Laura, I have a lot of women who feel the same way in the beginning. But the reality is that you're living someone's lie. And
yes,
it's just not a matter of a good cook or a good bill keeper, because you could hire a clerk or a cook. When you're in a marriage, the whole point of the marriage is having that commitment to each other and basing your relationship on a truth. And, you know, it's really important, because you do have a child, that children have to grow up with good role modeling, or they're going to be destined to repeat the same patterns that they see in your marriage. If they see a marriage where there's a lack of love and where there's a lack of that kind of intimacy and passion and compassion for each other, you know, this is what they expect that they're going to have in their own relationships. And also, even though you had, you know, some good sides, no marriages are necessarily all bad except for maybe Misty's. But, no, there's others besides yours, Misty. But, I mean, there are women who have, you know, some positive aspects of what their marriages were. But the point is that the whole basis of a marriage is based on the fact of commitment, honesty, trust, passion, compassion, and monogamy. And when you know that your husband's out there having sex with total strangers, no matter what he wants to label it, the fact is that, you know, that commitment to you, you know, how does that make you feel as a woman? It can't make you feel good knowing that he's out there having sexual encounters with strange men. And it's only a matter of time before one of those strange men won't be strange anymore.
Yeah.
And he'll meet
somebody
and he'll come to terms with themselves. And where is that going to leave you anyway?
Laurie, you will struggle with this for quite a long time. I would suggest that you try to look into the stages of grieving, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and you'll battle these stages and you'll go through them, and eventually you'll come to a place of acceptance. And you'll feel that you have found your authentic self as well. And when you do, it could take you 6 months, it could take you 6 years, but when you do, you're going to know that you made the right decision and you did what is best for yourself and your son.
And did you say you're in Florida, Laura?
Yes, I'm in Florida.
Yes, you might want to think about coming to our healing workshop weekend in Florida in Fort Lauderdale in November.
Yeah,
because,
I saw that.
You know, it really might benefit you, as far as meeting other women and seeing how they've gotten through this struggle and understanding that what you're feeling is a very normal way to feel. You know, all of us, you know, all of a sudden are left as single parents. You know, this wasn't our goal when we got married. Raising a child or children on your own is very difficult. All of a sudden you're the primary caretaker. You have a lot more responsibilities than you had before, and chances are financially you're not in the same position. So there's a lot of downsides to divorce in general, plus the fact that it doesn't mean that we stopped loving who that, you know, we thought we married. You know, it's not like other kinds of marriages. I think these marriages, maybe you'll comment on this, Francine, they're different in the sense that it's not necessarily that a woman stops loving her husband, it's that the husband becomes a different man.
Well, that's what I think is the hardest thing in a divorce of a gay straight marriage. When two people are straight and they divorce, they often hate each other. But when they are, when there's a gay straight relationship that divorces, there's often a lot of love left, and it's sad. It's not practical to be married anymore. It's not realistic to be married anymore, and there's a very intense sadness because often once a woman gets past the resentment and the anger, she feels sorry for her husband, and then that pulls her into a different sort of love for him as well. So it is, it's very sad, and it's often, you know, ideally, if you can get through the divorce process and the, you know, we all know that divorce brings out the worst in a person. If you can get through that and try to become friends with your partner, your ex-husband, you know, that's an ideal situation because then you may be able to hold on to some type of loving friendship, not loving marriage, but a loving friendship.
And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. You know,
right.
Like I say, the best of all worlds is when you can make, you know, have a friendship afterwards.
Right.
But I think it takes, in many cases, a lot of work on that and a lot of healing for that to happen. And some of these men don't want to be your friend. You know, they just want to move on in their own lives. How is your husband interacting with you at this point and your son?
He is still in such a state of denial that he doesn't want to talk about it at all. We actually are going to the same counselor. We're not going to joint sessions anymore. But when I try to have a conversation with him regarding anything related to me seeing an attorney or wanting to talk about any of that, he just keeps saying, you know, well, just serve me with the papers and we'll go from there. But he won't sit down and try to discuss any of it. We are actually sharing custody with our son. He's actually a very good father.
Which is great.
And that's the right thing to do.
It is. I mean, but it, for me, I'm at the point right now where I'm going back and forth between intense anger and disgust and, you know, just makes me want to throw up to think about what he was doing. And, you know, having to go out and get tested, and praise the Lord, I didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I had two brothers who actually passed away from AIDS many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was even a part of me that felt like at the time when I met him, having at the time an indication that he struggled with this issue,
mm-hmm.
I think I felt like I could somehow save him from it.
Right,
so.
And I think a lot of us are very uninformed about homosexuality. And I tell women, you know, you can't sit and blame yourselves. How was I so stupid? Why didn't I see all the signs? I think we don't understand homosexuality. I've been saying that for 30-some years. Because I know that when I married my gay husband, certainly, you know, issues came up that something he did in his past or, you know, maybe he had an encounter or maybe he did, you know, some odds and ends. But back in those days, you know, when I was growing up, back in the 60s and 70s, the train of thought from, like, Dr. Kinsey was that, you know, 87% of all men have some kind of homosexual encounter in their life and, you know, it doesn't mean anything. So growing up, you know, I always thought, well, if they tried it, they didn't like it, that's not who they are, they're straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't
yeah.
understand the situation like I do now. Or you would think, well, if they love you enough and you're a good enough wife, those feelings, you know, won't even come up or pop up because they love you. You know, we don't equate that gay men are going to marry us. You know, we feel that gay is, you know, when a man is attracted to a man, why would they be with a woman?
Exactly.
So we don't understand homosexuality. And I think a lot of them don't understand it. In my last newsletter in June, I don't know if you had a copy of that, Laura, where I have my, you know, gay friend Doug write. And
I did see.
Did you get to see that one?
I did.
And I think that Doug is very honest about it, that men, if they don't have an emotional connection with another man, they don't relate to that as being gay, you know, whatever their sexual attractions are. In their own minds, you know, they have two different ways of thinking, their emotional state and their sexual need. And they really, in their hearts, believe they love their wives and they're able to have a family, you know, and that's the life they want. It's a very hard life, you know, to have to change that and be, you know, part of that gay life, or gay world. And especially when you see, you know, I think gay men growing up, they relate to gay when they see all the, you know, effeminate men and all the television kinds of things and the guys who are really out there and dressing like women. And they don't relate to that. They say, that's not me. That's not who I am. I'm not flamboyant. You know, I'm not the ones that I see on television. That's, I must not be gay. I just might have these, you know, feelings, but that doesn't make me gay. So I think in many cases, they don't understand it for a long time. Would you say so, Francine?
Yeah, I would. It's also triggering a thought that I think that there are a large percentage of gay married men that are the receivers of anal sex, and they do not believe that they are doing anything wrong because they believe that their penis is just for their wife, and they're able to have straight sex with their wife, and they don't feel that there's a conflict because they're receiving anal sex. So they see that as a division. They have a boundary set up in their mind, and they do not consider themselves gay at all.
And then I see men who have the other boundary, and I've dealt with a lot of them who only have oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
And because they feel that it's not any kind of penetration, that it's
yes.
not feeding on their wives.
Absolutely.
So they justify it however they need to.
You know,
that sounds what my husband was justifying it by saying. He's actually said to me he wasn't cheating.
Mm-hmm.
He said, can you name one person's name? And I said, oh, because they were total strangers, then that means he weren't cheating.
Right.
And that's what he believed because of where he was going, and he couldn't see a face. And
well, that's why they do this, because it's totally impersonal.
That's a common mentality. Mm-hmm.
You know, they like that impersonal sex because in their own minds that makes them not gay.
Right.
You know, and that's another way of staying in denial. And that's why, you know, to us such a thought is like impossible. I mean, how can you do that? But to them it's just this sexual act. It doesn't mean anything more to that, and it doesn't equate with gay in their own minds.
There are a lot of men that cheat with other women, and they work double time to conceal that from their wives. My belief is that if a man is cheating with another man, he's working triple time to conceal that. So when women say to me, I don't know how I didn't see the signs, I say, you didn't see the signs because he's working triple time to conceal those signs because of our society and because of our sometimes disgust with what is going on and how people get repulsed by this. When society starts to accept it more and allow things to happen naturally the way they're supposed to, gay men will not be hiding behind straight women. Until that time, there will always be men that will hide behind women, and they will do the best job in the world of hiding and concealing and living a lie.
And I totally agree with that. And, you know, I used to think, well, within my lifetime, maybe that will change. But I see that even though it's changed a lot, certainly it's better now than it was 30 years ago.
Yes.
That I don't really see it changing in the big picture because there's still very strong religious influences, mm-hmm. cultural influences, and the message is still out there. And it's so funny that people say, well, people don't feel that way about gays anymore. It depends a lot on where you live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the big cities, you know, there might be some more liberal types of, you know, people who are more accepting of this. But even when I talk to friends, I had this conversation last week when somebody said about a gay actor or gay this, and I say, it's funny, we don't say when it's a straight actor.
Right,
but
right.
The fact that we even have to, you know, make that barrier by bringing up that somebody's, you know, a gay actor means that we're thinking that it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that really changing. I agree with you, Francine, that gay men feel very threatened by being gay in a society that does not accept it, by families who don't want to be have anything to do with it. And it's still very painful for a lot of men because, you know, I say in this country we have a lot more freedom than in other countries. I work with women around the world and also with gay men around the world who are in cultures where you're not allowed to be gay. It's that simple.
Right.
They have no choices. You know, they are stuck with who they get married to.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have a choice in some countries about who they're marrying. You know, these
mm-hmm.
are prearranged marriages, like in India
right.
and some of the Muslim nations. You know, they're just all of a sudden married, you know, to whoever the family, you know, hooks them up with.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have a gay partner, that's who they are stuck with.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, you know, in some cultures, if you say that my husband is gay, then you're at fault because you made him gay. So I always say to women, you know, when you have no choice, it's one thing, and you look around the world and you see a lot of people don't. And in this country, we have a lot more choices, but it's certainly not where it needs to be, to the point where people can feel free to say they are gay. So that's why I don't think we're going to see this problem and this trend for a long time to come. I don't think there's going to be any quick fix to this.
Yeah.
How about with your son? Does your son have any idea of what's going on as far as the gay issue?
I have not told him, and certainly my husband's not going to tell him.
Right.
And I do feel like he has noticed. I mean, there's certain things he has seen, like we had a male massage therapist
mm-hmm.
that would come to our house, and my husband would always prefer male massage therapists. And for a long time, I didn't find that to be so unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just another one of those red flags that I chose to ignore after I've talked to some friends, one of whom is a female massage therapist, and, you know, she has said, she's, you know, like, straight men do not go to male massage therapists.
Well, they could.
Yeah,
they could.
Well, not very common.
That in itself would not be enough. It's just a combination of all the factors.
Because a therapeutic massage is not sexual.
Right.
That's important.
But you don't need to have any other factors. You know that he's going and having, you know, anonymous sex.
Exactly.
So you know already what he's doing.
And there's been other things that have occurred too that I think that my son has probably kind of had to wonder a little bit. So
I would suggest letting your husband be the one to tell your son when the time is right. I always think that news should come from the gay spouse.
And even though I agree with that, Francine, that's my first preference.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a man who refuses to even accept it,
mm-hmm.
and I know that in my children's case, you know, I was the one who had to be the teller of the news. And only because I had asked my gay husband for a long time to please tell my children, you know, at certain points, because they would come in his house,
mm-hmm.
they would find gay porno, they would find all kinds of gay apparatus there.
Okay,
and,
well, that's very different.
And, you know, so today it's different with kids find different stuff on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I know so many children know before their mothers know, it's really ironic, because they find
yeah.
the gay porno on the computer or the
mm-hmm.
emails that their fathers are sending out. But there are those men that no matter what you say to them, they're refusing to tell the children. And I felt there came a time in my children's lives when they were finding things that they had to know that this was not the way of the world because they would be confused. So I think it is, of course, you know, the first preference is that of a husband. I think together, you know, the best solution is a mother and a father together can sit
mm-hmm.
with the children. Would you agree with that, Francine?
Yeah, that would be ideal. Yeah.
That's your number one ideal, but if not,
absolutely.
At least as a father could. Francine, what happened with your husband? Did he tell your children?
No, he didn't, and unfortunately, they overheard a lot of arguing, and that is certainly not the way I would have ever wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that often happens, that there's arguing and the kids hear it. So
I'm so glad you brought that up, because, Laura, do you think in your case your son has ever heard you arguing about this?
That was another thing throughout our relationship, that we never argued. And, you know, I can look back and see that it was very much due to, well, I'm a very non-confrontational person anyway, but if we had a disagreement, he would always say, well, let me think about that, and I don't want to talk about it right now. We'll talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would come back to it. But that was just his subtle way of manipulating and controlling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when all this came out in September, and I finally came to terms with it a couple months afterwards, I was in denial still for several months. And
mm-hmm.
when it finally really hit me, I did react in a finally just like let it all out, and I did start just yelling at him and I didn't say the word, you know, you're gay or anything, but I forget exactly what I said, but it was, you know, something to the effect, you know, you've ruined this marriage, and this is your fault, and I just like, you know, totally let it out at that point. But I was all, at the same time aware that, you know, our son, even though he had gone to bed, that might overhear. So I, you know, it was like one of those trying to,
right,
sort of control what I was saying, and yet I was so mad and angry. So I don't know if he.
And I think a lot of parents, you know, have said to me, "Oh, well, we never argue in front of our children." But I can tell you as a fact that my parents never argued in front of us either. They would wait till they thought we were sleeping,
mm-hmm.
and then the fun began.
Right.
And a lot of times when people can't accept responsibility for what the problems are, the blame becomes the children's blame.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say, well, you're too busy with the children, this is why we have this problem, or the kids are taking up too much time. But, you know, so we grew up in that kind of environment, always feeling guilty for our parents' unhappiness. But, in, you know, your situation, that even when you think your child is sleeping, and a lot of women say this, you know, that that's when, you know, the fights begin, children hear, children know, and there will come a time when, you know, he'll either have to come to terms with who he is and tell your son, you know, rather than having your son feel, get also these, you know, distorted mixed messages about, you know, what life is about and what sexuality is about.
But it's important not to push that, because it's hard enough for a man to come out himself,
mm-hmm.
let alone tell his son or daughter. But I think that especially when a man is married, he's living under that veil of being married, and then to come out into the world at 30, 40, 50 years old, it's devastating. So I would just not push that. I think it has to be on his terms.
I agree. It's something I want to. Our son's only 13, and it's a very fragile age anyway, coming into puberty, and that
absolutely.
Is
I mean, you know, it's not the best time to tell. Although I don't know if there ever is a good time to tell.
Right.
But the point is that if for now, you know, he's not questioning it. You know, I don't see the need to have to bring it up, especially since your husband's in denial. I mean, if your husband was leading a gay lifestyle where your son would be seeing it, it would be harder to keep that as, you know, a secret. But, you know, their day may come when he's going to say to you, Mom, is Dad gay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just have to anticipate that may happen, because it happens a lot.
And I think my response to that would be that I would say, you need to go ask your dad that question.
And you know what? That's usually a good response. But then
yeah.
what I find a lot of times, I don't know if you find this, Francine, or you, Misty, is that, you know, they go ask their dads and they say, of course I'm not gay. And
right, but if they weren't gay,
where do you go from there?
If they weren't gay, the wife would say, absolutely not.
Uh-huh.
But by saying you need to ask your father, is you're pretty much saying yes without saying yes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
So I do think that's a good response.
Right, but what do you do when they come back and say, well, Dad said, don't be ridiculous?
Well, then just give it a little more time, and eventually you'll start to see Dad's behavior.
Yeah, I see that happening a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, because I have a lot of older children, you know, who have been, we're starting a support group for them. So if you have an adult, you know, child, you know, 18 and over or 17 and over, who are looking for support with gay fathers, because certainly they're really out there without a real support mechanism. I'm starting an online group in September for adult children of gay, you know, fathers, so that they have a forum to come to where they can talk to young adults.
Wonderful.
Because certainly they have a lot of issues to deal with also.
Yes.
You know, and the first thing, especially I find that it's much more disturbing for men than it is for women because, you know, a lot of them are questioning their own sexuality and, you know, just all kinds of issues that come up, you know, as far as what to tell your friends.
Right.
You know, if you're getting involved with someone, what do you say
right.
to them? So if you do have adult children you're interested, please write to me at bondk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to put you on that list or for your children.
That's
but definitely there's a lot of, this is why I think Francine would agree that, you know, as a therapist, because Francine does, you know, therapy with a lot of straight gay couples or straight wives,
yes.
that we do have issues that other people don't have to contend with.
Right.
And children is one of them.
Right.
You know, children are used to seeing another woman come into a husband's man's life or another, you know,
mm-hmm.
man into a woman's life, but they're not used to seeing another man coming into another man's life.
Absolutely.
Do you deal with any of the children, Francine?
You know, I don't have a lot of children that come into therapy, but in the Streets Best group that I run, that topic comes up quite often. Yeah, they usually take the lead of how their mother is reacting. They
mm-hmm.
take the lead from their lead from her. So, Bonnie, before we wrap up, could I read another paragraph?
Yes, and you don't feel that you need to go. We're on for a while.
Oh, okay.
But we'd love to have you read another paragraph.
All right, well,
Laura, you're welcome to stay on with us, or you can go.
Oh, I'm enjoying listening.
Good, then you can stay around. And Francine's going to read another excerpt from her book, A Pebble in His Shoe. Go right ahead, Francine.
Okay, because there's so much guilt, remorse, and shame involved in this topic, and because my ex-husband did commit suicide, and if you read the book, you'll see that I do believe he was a victim of pedophilia, I am a very firm believer of forgiveness. So this paragraph is a little bit about forgiveness. Here it goes. Although forgiveness may seem like the last thing you want to do at this time, forgiving another and forgiving yourself can be considered a gift you give yourself. It will eventually reduce negativity in your life, improve your physical and mental health, increase your sense of well-being, and create peace and reconciliation in your heart. Your spouse does not even have to know that you forgave him. It could be something you hold on in your heart that will help you to be free, to move on, and to let go. And that's just a message I'd like to close with, because I do believe it's very important that women are able to let go and move on. And because we deserve to have a healthy life. We deserve to have happiness. And I would just love to get that message out there, that is a way that I have been able to achieve happiness in my life, by forgiving and letting go.
And I think that's a very important message, and it may not be happening for you right away,
mm-hmm.
but I think the first step is forgiving yourself.
Right.
I think until you can forgive yourself, you can't really even talk about really forgiving anything else.
Right.
But I think so many of our women really blame themselves. And I should have seen this, I should have known that, I shouldn't have done this. And these are not normal situations that people run up against. And I think we're much too hard on ourselves, because a lot of these signs that we did see, you know, once again, unless you can put them together in a string of, you know, signs, why would we think that it's gay?
Mm-hmm.
And so many of our women feel so stupid. You know, we had a woman tonight in our chat room saying, oh, I felt so stupid saying, you know, that I didn't see this. Well, we don't see it because we're not expecting it. We're totally blindsided because we don't understand it. And
they're working triple time to cover it up.
Exactly. And these guys...
And not only... Go ahead.
I always say they should receive the Academy Awards for, you know...
Exactly.
Best act in the world, because they are the best actors.
Right. Well, not only forgiving yourself for maybe not seeing the signs, but personally I know I had to forgive myself for the way I treated my husband through this process. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was not so nice, and I called him many names that were terrible because I was so hurt and so devastated. And in retrospect, I wish I didn't do that. So I try to educate my own clients that it's such a critical time in a person's life to be coming out, which is often why they turn to drugs, alcohol, suicide. So if it was so easy, people wouldn't do that.
Francine, can we just mention also that if we have listeners who are from your area, how they can get in touch with you?
Oh, that would be great. Well, my website is www.drbarbetta.com. My phone number in the Bucks County area in Pennsylvania is 215-949-9664. I do run a free straight spouse support group the second Tuesday of every month from 6:30 to 8:30 in my office in Levittown, Pennsylvania.
And it's pretty accessible to people from where, New Jersey?
Oh, yeah, it's very close to I-95. I have people come from the Poconos, from New York, from Delaware, the Philadelphia area, New Jersey. We have people come from all over.
Right, so if you're looking for a great support group that Francine runs this group once a month.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get her website, you can always write to me at bondk@AOL, and I'll be happy to forward you to Francine's information. And let's just talk to them one more time about, how to get your book, Francine.
Sure. My book is available. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com. It is... also, you can get it online at, let me get the website here, Ex Libris, orders at exlibris.com, XLIBRIS.com. And if you're local, it's at the Newtown and Doylestown bookstore.
Which bookstore?
Doylestown, Pennsylvania, and Newtown, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, they're just a they're it's actually called the Doylestown Bookstore and the Newtown Bookstore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and also the book is available on hardback, softback, and now
e-book?
On e-books.
Which is great. So
yeah.
If you have a Kindle machine or if you have the other machine.
Exactly.
You can buy it that way.
Right.
And it's a very compelling, fascinating story, and I hope you'll get a pebble in his shoe if you need more information on it. Francine's also a member of my independent authors co-op at www.booksofexcellence.com, and you can read about her and her book there also. Or send me an email, and I'll send you the information. Francine, I want to thank you so much. I want to wish you so much happiness. I hope you'll come back before your wedding.
Absolutely. Thank you.
To let people know about your wedding plans that are coming up.
Sure,
and I do want to tell you that you've really inspired me when I tell people your story. I have a very good friend, who... just is brokenhearted over a straight relationship she got out of, and she thinks, it's been a couple of years, she'll never meet anybody again. And I tell her your story just today again. I said, do I have to keep telling you the story of Dr. Francine Barbetta, who had found true love? And I said, you can do it too. You just give up too easily.
And I met him on eHarmony.
eHarmony, I told her. She said, okay, I'll rejoin it.
I never thought in a million years.
You have to go through like 100 people to find the right one, right?
It does, because I totally gave up on it. And then it was actually a free weekend that they were trying to get me back, and that's when I met him. So
the whole point is that, you can't give up, even if it's 100 guys. I always say if you meet 500 guys, one of them is going to be the right one.
Yep.
So, I know it's a big goal, but you can do it. If you're determined to meet the love of your life, your soulmate's always out there somewhere.
And I'll just leave you on this funny note. He's a podiatrist, which is very ironic because the front of my book cover is a man's shoe.
I know. That is ironic.
So how weird is that, right?
Well, maybe he can pose for the next picture of your next book.
That'll be a happy book.
No pebble in this man's shoe. Maybe you
know
that in your next book.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for being our guest, and we'll look forward to having you back here again in a couple of months.
Thanks for having me, and take care, and good luck to all your viewers.
Too. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that was always stimulating with, Francine. She's always such a great guest. Don't you think so, Misty?
Absolutely. So much hope and inspiration. Life does exist again.
Yes. And, Laura, did she inspire you at all?
Absolutely. I'm sitting here at my desk looking at her website right now.
Yes, and if you haven't read her book, it's really a fabulous book to get. And it's, I think it's just so important. There are other books out there about straight spouses and marriages. I say read them all because you'll see yourself, parts of yourself in each one of them. And I think that, you know, the more you see that people have gone through this experience, I know that a couple of my books, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, have really helped so many people because it's a compilation of 19 different women's stories. Or the book, How I Made My Husband Gay, you know, has like 20-some stories from other women about, you know, the signs they didn't see or the signs that they missed. And, you know, when you see that other women have lived your life and that you don't have to feel that you're the only one who's made this, you know, what I call mismarriage, not a mixed marriage, but mismarriage. It's a mistake in a marriage. You know, mistakes happen, but you can always fix a mistake. It's not easy all the time, like, you know, you're doing some struggling now. But one of the things I wanted to mention to you also is that Misty does some really dynamite workshops on grieving and healing. And, you know, that's something to think about also, that you can do it from the comfort of your home. You know, Misty has small group sessions on healing. And I think that sometimes going through some, Misty gives some really great interventions on how to do that. You know, I can't talk enough about Misty's workshops because people always feel so much better after they attend it. So you can check her out also on mistyhall.com, mistihall.com, and, you know, for some of her upcoming workshops as well. And, you know, the important thing for you is not to feel alone and not to feel isolated, because you see there are so many of us out there that you're not the only one by a long stretch that's going through this. This affects millions of women, you know, in this country and certainly millions throughout the world that are in our shoes. But, you know, people start new lives like Francine. I know for myself, you know, I met my soulmate 16 and a half years ago. And, you know, other women have very happily ever after types of stories who never thought that they could, you know, love again or live again. But, you know, that's the important thing about being able to heal and to build yourself up so that you're at a new point in your life where you can open your heart again and meet someone and maybe have another life. And even if you never want to meet someone again, just learning to love yourself, you know, and being on your own. A lot of women are very happy that way. But either way, you have to really, like I say, take the time to rebuild yourself. And if you feel that, you know, you want someone into your life, it took me 11 years until I was ready to meet someone because I was just so thwarted from my marriage. You know, I was so broken, you know, emotionally, and my self-esteem was down to the ground. I had no self-esteem left. And, you know, certainly I was not in a position to be involved in a relationship. I didn't feel good enough about myself to be involved with anyone. So all of that takes a lot of time and a lot of rebuilding. And that's why I hope you'll think about joining us in November at our workshops, because we do a lot of that, you know, making you feel whole again, making you feel at peace with yourself, and getting rid of a lot of the past anxieties and, you know, feelings that you're going through now. So hopefully you'll be able to join us.
I would love to do that.
Well, we really, I don't know if tonight helped you at all, but we were really glad you called, and we're willing to share of yourself what you're going through. Because you know what, Laura, what it is that, you know, for every woman who calls in here, and I don't know if you've heard some of our other shows, but you always make a connection. And I know certainly people hearing your story tonight, it will certainly make a connection for them. So
I'd just like to say that your website has made a huge difference for me in getting your newsletters. This is the first time I've listened to the show, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your website, because it just has helped me cope and open my eyes to a lot of things that I thought I was going crazy, like you say.
You were being gay-lighted.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what my new saying is. But I'm really glad. And, you know, you can always listen to all the back episodes of the shows, too, right at the website. So, you know, when you're feeling a little down or feeling out, just go to the radio, you know, listings, and you can listen to all of our back shows at any time that you want. That's the great thing with the blog radio. You can go and listen to all our back issues and back episodes. So the main thing is, as I tell women, stay in touch, stay connected, because, you know, sometimes you feel like you're doing this all by yourself because there's nobody you can talk to that can really understand you. And we do. You know, we've lived it, we're living it, we understand it, and we're there to give you that support. And even think about, you know, coming to our chat sessions. You know, you'll find them very uplifting, and you'll meet other women like you. You know, we have a group. In fact, we hooked up two women tonight, you know, in Florida, and we're going to be meeting. So I think that it's a wonderful thing that when you can do this, and, you know, we can hook you up with people also in your area who you can meet face-to-face if you like. So the important thing is stay connected, and whatever help we can give you, we're here for you.
Thank you.
All right, Laura. Well, thanks so much for calling us, and don't be shy. Call again. Let us know how you're progressing, okay?
I'll do that.
All right. Thanks so much. And good night to you.
Good night.
Well, Miss D, I'm so happy that we had Laura call in with Francine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Excuse me. I have something I'd like to bring up as well. Something I've started to notice with some of my clients that I think is a wonderful idea, you know, especially when children are involved. You know, you don't always have to use a therapist or counselor to repair the marriage. You can use one when you're exiting a marriage as well. So I have several clients that go to a therapist with their soon-to-be ex-husband, and they work through the process of telling the children. And I think it's wonderful for parents to put that effort forward to do that, because I know it's not easy to do that. But, it, you know, going to a professional can often be helpful. You can get support, you know, to let your children know and how to let them know. And I think it's so important. Now, however, that doesn't always happen because a lot of men won't admit they're gay. So we know that's not going to always happen. But for those parents that do try to put the children first and are willing to let them know the truth, I think it's wonderful when you seek the advice of a therapist if you don't know how to tell them. I just think it's a wonderful way to, you know, just let your children know and be supportive and make sure you're doing it the right way, because it can be hard, and I know it can be difficult.
I don't think there's any easy answers, and I wish there was a pattern that I could tell people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what works for one person may not work for the next person.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I wish there was, you know, all the time people ask, what about the children, what about the children? And there's no real set answer, because every situation is so different. You know, I think in my mind I used to say, well, the kids don't really have to know. On the other hand, I think, well, you know, maybe they'll know something and then they'll be confused when they don't know the whole truth. Then I think, well, maybe they have the right to know, you know, there's something that's breaking up a marriage that they shouldn't, you know, what is the real reason behind it? I just, you know, after all these years, you know, I just feel this is one issue that I can't give any soundproof advice on. Every situation has their own sets of solutions depending on what the situation with the husband is.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I would like to just say about Francine is a very forgiving person. And, you know, like I said, I love her. I think she's wonderful. I'm not as inclined to forgive as she is. You know, she's much more forgiving than I am. I really feel that forgiveness has to be earned. And I know where she's coming from, where the only one who gets hurt by not forgiving is you. But I think that I would feel worse if I forgave someone who really didn't deserve the forgiveness. I feel once again that I was a victim instead of a victor. And I think that some of these men really don't, deserve their forgiveness. They really need to earn it. And I do believe you have to forgive yourself. And certainly living with bitterness is not the answer either, because you're only hurting yourself when you're bitter. But I think you can get a perspective where, you know, you can accept what the situation is. You can forgive yourself, but, you know, your gay husband really needs to earn that forgiveness. And,
yeah,
you know,
for myself, excuse me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
For myself, I understand where you're coming from, and I think that everyone's situation's unique. And with my own personality, I knew that I had to find a way to forgive. And what I found that helped me was I ask myself this question, you know, how can I let this situation be forgiven, but yet not let him off the hook? You know, because he, you know, I had these terrible things happen in the marriage. It was a very abusive marriage.
I don't think a lot of those things are really forgivable. I mean, unless he would come to you and say, Misty, you know, I am so sorry for the way I treated you, and really mean it. I mean, a lot of people can say the words and not mean it.
Absolutely.
And I know with my ex-husband, you know, when he finally came to me and he really said he was sorry and meant it. I mean, he said he was sorry a lot in the past, but he was just placating me. But one day, when he really understood it, was the first time that I felt that I could really forgive him. And not even forgive him so much for all the actions and things he did to me, because I don't know if that's ever forgivable. But I could just forgive the situation. You know, so I guess forgiveness, you know, not all of us have the same views on it, and certainly it's better when you can forgive when it's deserved. And if somebody wants your forgiveness and they've earned it, absolutely. But in a case like your ex-husband who was really abusive, I mean, does he really deserve to be forgiven?
You know, it's just like I said, that's why I had to come to the conclusion, how can I forgive this situation and move on? And I finally decided, okay, I'm forgiving everything that happened, but I don't. He still owns everything he did to me. That doesn't erase what he did. That doesn't make him a good person by me forgiving. So I just had to forgive the situation. The biggest thing I had to forgive was myself for staying in abuse for so long. So a lot of my forgiveness was with myself as well.
Yeah, I buy into that. And I really do believe we need to forgive ourselves. But you know how they say forgive and forget? I think maybe we should just forget instead of forgive. What do you think?
That would be great, but I can't forget everything. And that brings up another topic that is so interesting. You know, especially Dr. Barbetta was talking a bit about the abuse. And, you know, something personally with myself, especially if there's other women out there in the gay relationship that are experiencing abuse, you know, that's something that just is so difficult to work through. Sometimes that takes longer to work through than your husband being gay. So, you know, you're compounded with lots of things to work through in some of these situations. I mean, they're so different than the straight, you know, quote, straight divorce. And I'm not saying those don't hurt either. I'm not discounting that. But there's just so many more layers of complications that these marriages can have that you have to work through, and it takes time.
I don't know, Misty. I'm kind of going back to, I like that slogan, forget, don't forgive. That may work better because, you know, for some people, like with your ex-husband, they just don't deserve any forgiveness. And certainly some of the women that are in our support group, you know, for their husbands, they really don't deserve to be forgiven. I mean, they're just being horrible. But I think if you could forget them, that would be better.
Yeah. See, denial can be a great thing sometimes, right? Who says denial can't be therapeutic?
I mean, if the husbands can live in a state of denial, why can't we?
Yeah.
Maybe they could teach us how.
I think they've got that down pretty. I think they can orchestrate that pretty well. Most of them can. It's very interesting. Very interesting how. And I think it's very interesting, and we touched on that a bit tonight, how that these things can be so compartmentalized. Like, you know, they can only receive or perform oral sex, therefore they're not gay. They can only be a bottom, therefore they're not gay. I mean, it's all these things, how they can compartmentalize this. And I've heard so many of them say, I'm not cheating on my wife. My ex, his thoughts were, I'm only cheating on her if I were going out with a woman. That would be cheating.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting how they define some of this stuff. Yeah, it's really bizarre.
And we've had a lot of women tell us that their husbands say, well, you know, I'm not cheating with you with a woman, so that should make it okay. And they don't even, like I say, consider it cheating in many cases. They just say it's a sexual need they have. You know, they don't really equate it with cheating. I mean, I do.
Cheating is cheating. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, when you take, unless you have an arranged marriage beforehand, you realize what you're getting into. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you enter a marriage and you're assuming and you enter that marriage that this is going to be a monogamous relationship, and when you go through those marriage vows with myself and many other people, when they take marriage vows, they consider those sacred. Oftentimes they feel, you know, a lot of times marriages are associated, the ceremony, with a religious background or things that, you know, they belong to. So that's, for most people, that's a sacred contract with God or whatever it is they believe in. And oftentimes it's an understanding that it's a monogamous relationship.
Uh-huh.
So when that is broken without your knowledge, it's cheating. I just don't think there's any other way to do it. It's cheating, whether it's with a man or a woman. I feel that it's cheating, and you're breaking part of the contract.
But I feel it's cheating more if it's with a man. And that's because it's not only just cheating. It's cheating, it's lying about who you are. So it's like
that's
a double whammy.
More complicated. It's so much more complicated because not only are you dealing with infidelity, you're dealing with an issue that you didn't know you had to contend with. You're dealing with something. You're waking up with a stranger, and the sad part is yourself. You become a stranger to yourself because, as we've talked about on here before, when we're in relationships, we define ourselves by the people we're with. So once we come to realize, hey, who am I? Because I don't even know who this person is I'm living with. So our whole definition of ourself crumbles as well. So we don't even know who we are. It's just so confusing.
I know, and I certainly know that it changed who I was. And,
absolutely.
You know, I was in a short-term marriage just for a few years, and I look at women who have been there for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years and how some women, you know, have sacrificed their whole lives living with the, you know, living a lie and living with a gay man who have never, you know, made love to with a straight man, who don't understand, you know, what that would even mean, who don't understand the meaning of intimacy. And what they've been robbed of, you know, which is their natural right. And I find that very sad. And that's why I try to be sympathetic with the men, and I certainly know their battles, and I am sympathetic. But there comes a time when you just have to be honest. And so many
absolutely.
Of these guys just won't be honest about it. You know, they'll write to me about it,
care.
But they're not going to be honest mm-hmm. with their wives.
And, you know, and I ask, you know, and I feel like I'm very pro-gay, and I just ask, gay men that are married, please be honest. You're, like we've talked about before, you're not doing your wife any favors. The longer you wait, the more damage that can be done, and the more she's going to have to work through.
And
so,
if
you know,
you're a gay man who's
help,
listening,
find that help.
And I just want to say, if you're a gay man who's listening to this show, and you do need support in coming out to your wife, please get in touch with me, because I have a wonderful support network for you on how to do it, the best way to do it. But the important thing is just that you do it. And I can't tell you how many men are so happy once they can do it, how their lives change for the better. Also, because the hardest thing in the world is having to live a life that's not yours and to have to lie about it every day. And I don't know how these guys do it. I mean, how do you juggle all these ends?
I don't
you
know.
Pretending to be someone who you're not and trying to cover it up, you know, not leaving little trails behind. You know, and having to, as Francine said, you know, just be a wonderful actor, as we always say. You know, these guys can really get the Academy Award. But, you know, it's so important to realize that if you have any hints, you know, if you're a woman and you're thinking in any way that your husband might be involved in anything gay, if you're thinking that, there has to be a reason. And you have to, like Misty says, trust your intuition. Right, Misty?
That's the most important gift you have in understanding this. It's like we discussed lightly tonight. You know, when you're in a straight relationship, women don't have that thought when their husband's cheating. When you are in this type of relationship and you feel that way, I'm going to go out on a limb and say 99.9% of the time your intuition's going to be correct with this. You're thinking it for some reason. And Bonnie, you and I both know, I can speak for myself, and I think you've spoken of this as well. I have never worked with a woman that has thought her husband was gay, and he turned out not to be gay.
Me either. I mean, if anything, a woman's going to think that her husband's cheating with another woman, it'd be straight.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's
exactly.
thinking that, you know, he's gay, and almost every single case, I mean, I won't say 100%, but I'll say 99.9%, and I've dealt with over 50,000 women through the years. And I can tell you, count them on my hands, how many times it was, you know, not a gay issue. But there's a lot of other sexual dysfunctional issues. And, in fact, I've gotten a number of letters in the last, you know, few months about women who are married to cross-dressers. And I say to them, you know, a lot of cross-dressers are straight. But that doesn't mean that you're comfortable living with it. You know, it's all a matter of what your comfort level is. I mean, I don't think I could ever be comfortable, no matter how much I love a man. I don't want him dressing up in women's clothing to get sexually aroused.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that, you know, that's right to feel that way. I just know what I'm able to live with. And that's what I think the message has to be. If you're not comfortable with the situation, no matter if it's a straight, gay, or under these sexual fetish situations, then, you know, you can leave your marriage. It's just not the right marriage for you. Don't put yourself in a place where you don't want to be. And even when men ask women to do certain things sexually and they're not comfortable with them, I tell women, if you're not comfortable doing something sexually, don't do it. You know, I have these women who say their husbands tell them, well, if you were more sexually adventurous, if you were more sexually open, you know, they want to have threesomes, foursomes, whatever sums, you know, with other people inside the marital bed. And you don't have to feel guilty because that's not who you are or that's not what you want. That's not what you went into the marriage thinking it was going to be. And you don't have to be the one feeling responsible because you're not sexually, you know, in tune to what your husband's wanting when it's something that you didn't want to start with. So if you're in any of those situations, even if it's not a gay situation, you owe it to yourself to really, you know, think about leaving that marriage, because staying in a marriage where you're not comfortable over anything is not the answer.
Okay.
So those are our words of wisdom for tonight. Misty, what workshops are coming up?
All right. I've got a couple of great things coming up in August. One is just a taste of the workshop coming up, and that would be the Saturday seminar. I've actually made it abbreviated session, I guess you could say, and it's all about rediscovering yourself, which I think will be an absolutely wonderful seminar. And it touches on some things we talked about tonight. You know, once we get in one of these relationships, we feel so broken and we don't know who we are. So in this Saturday seminar, you will go away with tips, ideas, and things to get on that road to finding who you are. And I think it's going to be wonderful. And what that's going to be, it's going to be a preview to a workshop I'm doing. And my workshops are 4 weeks. And basically, I said August, but it starts in September. Starting September the 20th, I'm doing a 4-week workshop. You can participate in the comfort of your home. They're really wonderful. You get to connect with other straight women. And what this is going to be, it's going to be much more in-depth version of the rediscovering yourself. I've gotten a lot of requests for, you know, where to go from here, what do I do now? And this is going to be that workshop that will help you. So I really encourage you to look into it. You can email me if you have any questions at all. I'll be happy to answer. And my email is Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall at AOL.com.
Or go to Misty's new website at mistyhall.com, and you can email her from there as well. I just want to mention, Misty, next week I'm really excited because as our guest we're going to have our list maker, Wendy. For those people who have read my latest newsletter, our July issue, where Wendy has her list of what, you know, Wendy brought us her list before of, you know, her different stages of recovery and healing. And this list is really phenomenal of what he was thinking and what she was thinking before they knew the truth in their marriage and that homosexuality was in the marriage. So Wendy has agreed to be our guest next week to talk about our list. And so please make sure that you listen in, or if you can't listen live, that you listen at a later time. You can always tune in to Blog Talk Radio and bring up our website and listen at your convenience. So, Misty, it's been another great night, and we want to thank all of our listeners. I want you to also, once again, check out Misty's new website at MistyHall, MistyHall.com. And also next week, remind me to talk to you about how excited I am about my book coming out in Spanish for our Latino sisters who are listening. My book, The Gay Husband Checklist for Women Who Wonder, will be available by next week all over in Spanish. So if you have Spanish friends, we'll talk about that as well. Also, my Spanish book was translated by my dear friend, Frederick Martin Del Campo, and I'll be talking a little bit about him next week, too. So everyone, have a wonderful week. Misty, have a great week.
You too, and love to all. Good night.
Good luck. Love to all of you. Bye-bye.
Bye.